All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. The Committee on Military Veterans Affairs, Space, and Domestic Security will now come to order. Lois, will you please call the roll?
Chair Wright.
Here.
Chair, Vice Chair Harrell. Senator Burgess. Senator Cruz. Senator Gibson.
Here.
Senator Rodriguez.
Here.
Senator Torres.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you very much, Lois. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by our one and only Senator Gibson. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well done. Okay. Okay, housekeeping again here. COVID-19 precautions will limit access to Senate Legislative Committee meetings, although members of the public will be able to testify remotely at the Donald L. Tucker Leon County Civic Center. Anyone wishing to testify before a committee must fill out an appearance card and hand it to a member of the Sergeant's Office at the Civic Center. These appearance cards will be delivered to the committee administrative assistant. As time permits, public testimony will be taken on each of the committee agenda items. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. To be clear, our decorum standards are the same for the Civic Center as they are for the Capitol. We would ask that you silence all electronic devices and observe social distancing guidelines. So seeing that Senator Diaz is here, we are going to, ladies and gentlemen, go to tab 2 and take up SB 1892 on Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund by Senator Diaz, and you are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's great to be here in your committee again. Thank you for having me. And there is one amendment, but the Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund is created for the Executive Office of the Governor. The fund established the use of reimbursements of state expenditures received from the federal government. The monies deposited in the fund are available as a funding source for the governor during purposes of preparing and responding to an emergency that exceeds regularly appropriated funding sources, except for the reimbursement of FEMA, which will be in the amendment.
Would you like to take up the amendment first before we go vote on the bill?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, so we have an amendment, barcode 713988. You are recognized to explain your bill or
Thank
amendment.
You, Mr. Chairman, this amendment removes the direct reference to FEMA reimbursement going into the fund. Instead, it words it as monies that will be specifically appropriated into the fund for the purposes of preparing and responding to emergencies.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions on the amendment? Senator Torres, you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a question, Senator Diaz, I have. Will there be an accountability on or reporting of the use of the funds?
You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, as is with any of the trust funds, this creates a trust fund. So it is a trust fund, and it has to follow the same rules and regulations that we have. And it also sunsets on July 1st, 2025, as other trust funds do and has to be reactivated.
Follow-up?
Yes, sir.
And this fund would be used by the governor as he wishes to use it, or?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, what this does is try to facilitate and provide clarity of the monies used during an emergency. So if the legislature appropriates funding into this, whether from general revenue or as a result of reimbursements from the federal government that already go through another route, it provides for clarity in accounting for monies that are expended during the state of emergency and for can provide accounting for reimbursements that we receive as a result of our request to the federal government.
Okay. Thank you.
You're good. Senator Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Reimbursements, I think I understand what you're saying, but I just need clarity. The reimbursements that we receive from FEMA after a storm or something like that. So what do we do with it now? Just put it in the budget?
Yeah, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that there's a series of places in the budget that the reimbursements come into, and there may be another fund. And there needs to be some clarity as well, because you can have multiple states of emergencies. Like, for example, I believe we were still dealing with a state of emergency with Hurricane Michael, and those reimbursements are tied to those expenditures during that time, and we don't want to mix those with emergency funds that are expended during, for example, the COVID situation in that state of emergency. So there needs to be some clarity and accountability for that, and currently it's done in other funds. This is just creating a place where there's transparency, as there's an initial pot of money that can be allocated. All this creates is the vehicle, an initial fund that can be allocated by the legislature to say, if we have a state of emergency coming up in the next fiscal year, the governor can use this funding, and it facilitates accounting for things that could be reimbursed as well.
Good?
No.
Follow up?
I am good, but...
You are good.
I'm not... Clear. I'm clear, sorry. So, yeah, I'm sorry?
Amendment. Yeah.
Well, I can wait to ask my question and come back on the bill. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Are there any appearance forms on the amendment? We don't have any here. Do we have anybody at the Civic Center wishes to speak?
No, Chair.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? I don't believe so. Nobody's there. So is there any debate on the amendment? Okay. Senator Diaz, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
All right, sir. All in favor of the amendment, say yay.
Yay.
All opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Okay. Now we'll be back on the bill as amended. How's that? Are there any questions? Senator Gibson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry if I'm missing something, Senator Diaz. I'm not trying to be funny or anything like that. So I'm thinking about, like you mentioned, Hurricane Michael, for example. So the funds that we get based on FEMA's reimbursement go into this fund, and then what?
Senator Diaz.
Thank you, and I'll try to answer that with the multiple pieces. But let's use it as an example. If there's $100 million sitting in the fund, and there is a state of emergency, and the governor has to expend those to respond to the state of emergency, all of the qualified expenditures that are reimbursable by FEMA would then replace those monies that have been expended, and the idea is to keep that fund there, so that when the money comes back in, if there is a second emergency, the money can be reused again, and then those can be reimbursed by FEMA, depending on their eligibility, if there's a second state of emergency or even a third.
Okay. One last question.
Certainly.
Thank you. So is there interest that accumulates on the funds, and then is that accrued interest used in the same manner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. Nothing in the bill contemplates interest accrual. I would have to look at what this would create a trust fund, and the same rules apply to any other trust fund. So whatever the rules and statute are for a trust fund, and I'm not clear if they are allowed to accumulate, but if they do, the same rules would apply to this, because this is created as a trust fund, and it also sunsets July 1, 2025, as per the normal course of actions with trust funds.
Could I just have one more
question? Yeah, certainly.
So the money that – the funds that go into the fund is anticipating a FEMA reimbursement, which is not reimbursed at 100% all the time. So – what?
You're recognized.
I will take the what as a question. I would say each emergency is different, and you're right. There's varied categories of reimbursement. Some of them are passed through to local governments, and all of that is complex. But basically here, we're just creating basically a fund where we can appropriate money as the first line of defense in a state of emergency. And so while some of the funds may be 80% reimbursable by FEMA, when those dollars come back in, the idea is to keep this fund available going forward to allow for the first point of access for the governor to use it at, during an emergency. And then there are other available sources during an emergency for the governor, and those have different rules by which they can be accessed. But this would be the first line of defense, if you will.
If I could make a comment, I think what we're trying to do here is we're trying to put a pot of money together, and then when we have an emergency, the governor or whoever's responding has that available to them while we wait for FEMA to reimburse us. And I think that kind of came out of this Hurricane Michael situation where our three senators from the panhandle were quite beside themselves that it took FEMA so long, and they were just desperate for any help at all. And I believe the governor went ahead and just advanced some money under emergency powers. And so that's probably what's driving some of this. Yes.
What primes the pump?
I think, go ahead.
What?
We put the money in there, don't we?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say water usually, but in this case, the only way that you could that you would do that is as a legislature allocate a certain amount of funding to fund that. So basically, all this does is create the trust fund, which is the vehicle. The legislature still would have to appropriate funds into that trust
fund. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Chairman. And I would kind of as a follow-up, the funds that are coming into this, the analysis specifically says FEMA funds would be come into this fund. There would be no preclusion from the state putting general revenue appropriations into that fund to prime the pump and get it started. But also, presumably, and the reimbursement that comes from FEMA normally is very specific, and to it's a pass-through to counties and cities. It is specific to an event for the state of Florida, for roads, for various things. So all that is very well designated. However, we're now in the middle of a pandemic, and we're about to receive $1 trillion, and this comes under the category, there's FEMA dollars that will be coming this here. But there are also other dollars that are going to be coming that came as part of CARES for PPE and a variety of things like that. Would you anticipate that funds, in addition to FEMA funds, other categoricals coming down through CARES, coming through the Rescue America Act, would they also be eligible to go into this fund?
You're recognized.
So we did an amendment changing the specific area where it referred to FEMA and changes to monies. The amendment changed it to monies that can be appropriated there. I would say, going back to your earlier point, Senator Harrell, is that when you pointed out that there are specific categories of FEMA reimbursements aren't one general thing. There are specific categories, and they have categories C, D, for example, roads and bridges, water control facilities, public buildings and contents, public utilities, et cetera, et cetera. Those all come through the regular course. This simply creates a fund for us to use. The difference now of this CARES Act money that we're receiving now is it's coming to us, and we're in session. We're going to have to appropriate those dollars, from what I understand. And so those dollars would be appropriated based on the restrictions placed on those dollars by the federal government when they passed it. We would very carefully have to appropriate those dollars into proper places to make sure we're meeting those requirements and that we get it out into our General Appropriations Act.
Certainly.
Moving forward, as we do, we're in session now, but there some of these dollars may not come down immediately, and we're not in session. Would they go directly into this fund, or do they go, where would they go, into the general revenue pot? And then, of course, at a future time, we may appropriate. But as a reserve to hold them, is this the direction? Do you anticipate that this is the direction it would come? Or is it specifically limited to only funds coming from FEMA? From the amendment, I would hear no, but
right.
It also, that would be most likely the direction it would go, and whose decision is that?
Well, as with other trust funds, this doesn't have a funding source, so we would have to appropriate directly into this fund. So we could say before we leave, if this passed, we allocated $100 million for this fund, that's what would be in there. None of those dollars that are coming from the federal government currently which those aren't FEMA funds. Those are funds that were appropriated by Congress, so it's not a reimbursement.
Correct.
That would be different. This is really designed to facilitate the time when an emergency arises and we're not here. Currently, there's a system that can be used to access some of the reserves, the budget stabilization fund, the child's endowment. Those all have specific rules on how they can be accessed. This would not affect that. It's just creating a trust fund where we would basically decide whether we want to put monies in there in the event of an emergency so it can be dealt with. And then the reimbursement process with FEMA, that would be under their rules.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, is there any appearance forms on the bill? Anyone at the Civic Center that would like to speak on the bill?
No? No, Chair.
Okay, we took care of that, didn't we? Is there any debate on the bill as amended? Yes, Senator Gibson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Diaz. And maybe at Ted, but if you can today, what can you in your close talk about an anticipated amount of GR that would be potentially appropriated to the fund since we don't really have any money, any other emergency preparedness dollars that haven't been already allocated to communities, what that figure would look like from our upcoming,
you want that in his close,
upcoming
or
our
want
budget
know?
And during your close, please?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other debate? Okay. So, Senator Diaz, you're recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Yeah, and I understand the question. Well, the debate by Senator Gibson, and it would be hard for me to estimate. That would strictly be a decision made by our appropriations process here in the legislature on what we would put in there. I would imagine that it would be practical to put a certain amount. Maybe if we were putting monies in reserves, maybe a decision could be made to place a particular percentage of that in this fund that would be adequate to respond to an emergency. Obviously, the emergency that we are facing with COVID over a year long is very different from what we usually face, like hurricanes, and which we're pretty adept at. But I think this provides a vehicle for that to happen. The decision on how much would go in there is really left up to the legislature each year, and I think that's the importance of this, is really just to clarify that it's just creating a place where that could happen.
Thank you, Senator Diaz. Lois, will you please call the roll on CS for SB 1892?
Senator Burgess?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
Yes.
Senator Gibson?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez?
Yes.
Senator Torres?
Yes.
Vice Chair Harrell?
Yes.
Chair Wright?
Yes. And by your vote, CS for SB 1892 is reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, members, we're going to go to tab 1, SB 262, Dispensing Medicinal Drugs, by Senator Harrell. Senator Harrell, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And, Senators, have you ever been to the emergency room, say on a Saturday night, and you're given a prescription, and you need to get it filled, but there's no pharmacy open? It's a holiday weekend. What do you do? Currently, all you can do is get 24-hour supply from the hospital pharmacy. Hospital pharmacies are not community pharmacies, so they have, under statute, a limited ability to supply you with that prescription. So what this bill simply does, is, and I've personally experienced this, as and others have as well, what this simply does is to allow a physician, an emergency room doctor, or a physician in a hospital to prescribe up to 48 hours of that medicinal drug. And you can pick that up at the pharmacy in the hospital. And in the case of a declared emergency, a hurricane or something like that, that could be extended up to 72 hours. That is the bill. And I do have one clarifying amendment, or technical amendment.
Well, should we go right to that amendment and take up barcode 168678? Senator Harold, you are ready to go. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is simply a strictly a technical amendment to line us up with the House bill, House Bill 29, and it actually just conforms with Florida Statute 456.44 and 465.0276 guidelines for controlled substances.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the amendment? No questions. Are there any appearance cards on the amendment? I have no cards here. Anyone at the Civic Center want to speak on the amendment?
No, Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay, is there any debate on the amendment? Moving right along here. Okay, Senator Harold, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
We have close.
All in favor of amendment, say yay.
Yay.
Opposed, nay. Amendment is adopted. Okay, so back on the bill as amended. Now, is there any questions on the bill as amended? Hello, Senator Torres. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Harold, the question that I have, would this pertain to the 24-hour VA hospital when you go in there to seek treatment? Would this bill affect the veterans going into the VA hospital to get prescriptions, you know?
You're recognized. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I cannot specifically answer that. VA hospitals are under federal legislation, so I would presume that it would not because they are strictly under federal legislation. Our bills do not affect that. We have no say over VA hospitals, so most likely the answer would be no. I don't know what current VA prescribing situations are. Normally in a VA hospital, there is an on-site pharmacy that is a patient pharmacy, a community-based pharmacy, right, not a hospital pharmacy. So presumably you might be able to pick it up there, but I really am not that versed in federal law on VA hospitals.
Well,
yes, sir.
Yeah, no, the follow-up on that is I know that I've gone to the one in Lake Nona, the Florida Hospital, Veterans Hospital, has 24-hour urgent care, and they give you the prescriptions or whatever the doctor at the time that you go in there. But I was just wondering, would this affect the VA hospital? But you say no. It's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Any other questions? Okay, appearance forms. We have two here. Is there anyone at the Civic Center that would like to speak and have questions on the bill as amended?
No, Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have Philip Suderman. He's Americans for Prosperity, and he is waving in support. And we have Steve Wynn, Executive Director, Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, waving in support. Any debate on the bill as amended? We're moving right along. Senator Harold, you're recognized to close and the bill as amended.
Thank you very much. And this is just a convenience for patients so that they can get their medication should there not be a pharmacy open. And I think it's just good policy and another thing that Florida is doing to help our patients. And I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you very much, Senator Harold. Okay, Lois, please call the roll on CS for SB 262.
Senator Burgess?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
Yes.
Senator Gibson?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez?
Yes.
Senator Torres?
Yes.
Vice Chair Harrell?
Yes.
Chair Wright?
Yes. And by your vote, CS for SB 262 is reported favorably. What time is it? Oh, I'm going to stall it 4 more minutes. We have a bet going on whether we make it before 4 or after 4. I'm after 4. Don't make that bet with me. So, I think all the senators were here. So, is there any other business to come before the committee today? Oh, I got to talk slower. Well, Senator Burgess, thank you very much. He moves that we adjourn. Is there an objection? Seeing none, show the motion adopted. Thank you, sir.